we wanted. Or she was completely confident that she could root us out and exterminate us any time she felt like bothering. That being a possibility, Mergen's advice was sound. We should keep moving fast while that option was available. The best news was that Jarl Barundandi had shown an eager willingness to attach himself to the cause in hopes of avenging his wife. His initial assignment, to be carried out only if he was confident he could manage without getting caught or leaving evidence, was to penetrate the Protector's quarters and steal, destroy, or somehow incapacitate the magical carpets she had stolen from the Howler. If those could be denied her, our position would improve dramatically. He was also to recruit allies, without telling them that he was helping the Black Company. The ancient hysterical prejudice remained potent. It sounded wonderful, but I counted on nothing. Men driven solely by a need to revenge are flawed tools at best. If he let the obsession consume him, he would be lost to us before he could do any of the quiet, long-term things that make an inside man such a treasure. The bad news was bad indeed. The main party, traveling by water, had passed through the delta and was now ascending the Nagir River, meaning it was way ahead of us in terms of time still needed to reach the Shadow Gate. One Eye had suffered a stroke two nights earlier, during a drunken knockdown drag-out with his best friend Goblin. Death did not claim him. Goblin's swift intercession had prevented that. But now he suffered from a mild paralysis and the sort of perplexing speech problems that sometimes come after a stroke. The latter made it difficult for One Eye to communicate to Goblin what Goblin needed to know to cope with the problem. The words One Eye wanted to say or write were not the words that came out. A problem that is maddening enough for the ordinary analyst, coping only with time constraints and native stupidity. You cannot prepare yourself enough. The inevitable is always a shock when it lowers its evil wing. As if responding to a great joke, the circling crows rattled with dark mocking laughter. The skulls in the bone field grinned, enjoying the grand joke, too. There were more minor bits of news, once Mergen exhausted his store. I asked, "Can you reach Slink if he's here? Can you put a thought into his empty head?"
"Possibly."
"Try. With this." My idea amused Mergen. He hurried off to haunt Slink, certain to be strange dreams. The crows scattered, as though there was nothing interesting keeping them around anymore. I continued to people the place of nightmare, hoping I would not become a regular, as had befallen Lady and Mergen. I wondered if Lady still went there, making her interment that much more a session in hell. A crow landed high up in a barren tree, against the face of what passed for a sun in that place. I could not distinguish it, but it seemed different from the other crows.
"Sister, sister, I am with you always."
Terror reached down inside me and squeezed my heart with a fist of iron. I shot bolt upright. Panic and confusion swamped me as I grabbed for my weapons. Doge stared at me from beyond the fire.
"Nightmares."
I shivered in the cold.
"Yes."